This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From MLB.com, he covers the Pittsburgh Pirates, our friend Adam Barry. Adam, hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Excellent, thank you.
We're good, yes, we're good. Adam, we talk about sample sizes all the time. It's not a buzzword. It used to be, but now it's something that's commonplace. Sample size, sample size, sample size. Is the sample size big enough in Pittsburgh to get a full gauge on Chris Archer, or are we still waiting on that?
I feel like we're still waiting because it's been so up and down. You know, the first month last August was so bad. Then the September was really good. You know, the first couple of starts here were pretty good. And then, you know, there was the injury, so you kind of throw that one out in L.A. Then there was a start where he probably should have been on a rehab start in Arizona. Maybe you throw that one out, and then, you know, you're looking at a couple of starts this season, you know, some of which have been very good, like the one in D.C., you know, and several of which have been really mediocre, like the one last night, mediocre or slightly worse than that. So to me, it still feels like we're kind of waiting on seeing what exactly Chris Archer is going to be. The problem is you did not trade for that guy to figure out what he's going to be, you know, to hope that it pans out. You traded for that guy to make you better immediately and to make you better and stabilize the rotation for the long haul. And what they need right now is someone to stabilize a very injured rotation. And, you know, like you saw last night, he wasn't able to do that.
He expressed confidence, though, after the game, Adam, that he's not going to panic, that this is just a bump in the road, despite the fact that if you look at it, it's the worst four-start stretch of his career. I saw Travis Sawchuk of Fangraphs put out some numbers on his pitches yesterday or the day before, and the slider just isn't what it's been when Chris Archer was at his peak. Do you get a sense that he's working on anything, or that he's simply still just trying to come back from the thumb issue?
Yeah, I mean, he's always working on stuff. I think people are going to look at, you know, the way that he talks and his kind of his confidence and say that, oh, this guy doesn't care or he's too nonchalant or whatever. That's just who he is. He's confident. He's also one of the hardest workers that I've been around. So I do think he is working on stuff, but you do have to wonder, based on, you know, some of the numbers and also the guy that he was in Tampa the couple of years before the trade, if this is a pitcher who has already seen his best days, you know, whether it's 2013, 2015, or something along those lines. I do think he's still capable of being the guy that he was last September, you know, when he's healthy and when he's being a little more pitch efficient, you know, when the fastball is in the strike zone. So people have to kind of respect the slider rather than just, you know, ignoring it and, you know, waiting for him to either walk or, you know, hang a pitch inside the zone. So I do think he's working on stuff. I do think he's capable of being better than he's been the last couple of starts. Like I said before, you consider the injury and the way that he kind of rushed back from it and how rusty he looked in Arizona. You know, there were more encouraging signs last night as far as just the swing and miss. The fastball velocity was back up after being down out in Phoenix. You just need to see him, you know, more consistently be in the strike zone, put away some hitters quicker than he did last night. It's, you know, we're still talking about pitch efficiency, and you know, that's, he would have gone out for the six last night if they didn't have to hit for him, but you'd like it, you know, like him to make it a little easier of a decision to say, all right, put this guy out for another inning. He's going to give you another inning or two based on a low pitch count. And he wasn't able to do that.
Follow us on Twitter at 937 The Fan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Our friend Adam Barry, MLB.com, joining us. Is it just a foregone conclusion that Mitch Keller will be here between now and sometime whenever that second game of the doubleheader gets going in Cincinnati? And also, even if he does come here, doesn't that leave the Pirates one starter short because they can't go with this opener situation forever?
Yeah, I wouldn't say now, between now and that doubleheader start, it lines up that he should start one of those doubleheader games in Cincinnati. That makes the most sense to me. Just because Archer would be lined up for Sunday, you know, they could potentially get by with another opener on Saturday if that's what they need to do. I think rookie Davis is lined up to pitch in AAA that day, and you're probably not going to see him up. He was better in his last start, but he hadn't shown enough to come back and pitch in the majors right now. But you could get away just with the number of long guys they have in the bullpen, as long as, you know, the other starters do their jobs and pitch deep enough into games. You could get away with another opener game on Saturday. I don't see a scenario where they could get away with two of them on Monday in Cincinnati. So it would line up where Mitch Keller would have to be one of those guys. They haven't committed to anything. They haven't said anything. I would say that it really helped that he looked good in his start last night for Indianapolis. It went season-high seven innings. That's the kind of stuff you want to see. I still don't think they're necessarily comfortable saying he's a finished product, which is why that, you know, you've seen some reluctance from them about bringing him up, you know, between that, the Super 2 stuff, and, you know, maybe a little bit of fear of rushing another pitching prospect. So I think it might just be a temporary thing if he does come up, you know, and you hope that Trevor Williams gets healthy fast, or, you know, maybe you look for another solution, whether you try out Chris Stratton. It seems like they've moved Nick Kingham back to the bullpen on a permanent basis. You know, I don't know where they stand on Stephen Brault at this point. So it would help if Mitch Keller, you know, showed that he was ready, you know, and if the Pirates are willing to take a chance on that, at least in the short term, while they are down two starters. Because I agree with you, it's tough in a National League game to get by with two openers. You know, the Rays are able to do it in the American League with, I think, three spots in the rotation while Tyler Glasnow is hurt. But it's really hard to imagine, you know, without just a deep, optionable bullpen, rolling with two spots in your rotation, kind of being TBD every 5 days. Especially if you're not getting a ton of innings and, you know, quality starts out of the other guys in the rotation.
Well, Gene Collier wrote about in the Post-Gazette this past Sunday, Adam, about the idea of, you know, so many teams, because it's a 10-day injured list now instead of the 15-day DL, so many teams are more willing to put people on the injured list, and that teams have to be much more aware of their depth, not just 1 through 25 on the major league roster, but really down to 35 and 40. And does it feel like the Pirates have adjusted to that over this past offseason anyway, and to where they are currently, that they feel some confidence in guys, say, 26 through 40 on their roster?
I just want to take a moment to appreciate that you went from 10-day injured list to 15-day DL.
In the same sentence. Yes, thank you.
That's a good job by you. but no, I think you're completely right. And when you talk about depth, that's why a team like the Dodgers, in addition to having, you know, the big money talent, have been so good and so consistently good over the last, you know, handful of years, is because Andrew Friedman kind of brought that Rays mentality of you need depth, you need to cover yourself, you know, in every possible emergency scenario. And they've combined that with money and with extremely good scouting and analytics, and they have become sort of the pictured perfect version of that modern day deep organization. The Pirates are obviously going to have a tougher time with that just based on, you know, whether it's payroll or, you know, the farm system and some things that they've got going on where they need to groom their prospects rather than push them to the majors. You know, they can't necessarily afford those minor league free agents to dump them in AAA and just say, wait, there'll be an opportunity. But they are better prepared and better covered in some areas. You've seen it in the outfield this season, you know, with Jason Martin coming up, with Ryan Reynolds coming up and playing really well. You know, Melky Cabrera being sort of that, you know, opening day fourth, fifth outfielder to now playing on a pretty consistent basis. I think you've seen it in the bullpen with some guys like Montana DeRapo coming up and pitching well. Jeff Hartlieb is a guy that they have confidence in. You know, on the position player side, they're covered okay in some of those areas. You know, you still haven't seen guys like Kevin Kramer and Jose Osuna a whole lot in the majors this season, you know. But the problem is they weren't necessarily all that well covered on the starting pitching side, which is where, you know, a couple of injuries has really kind of illuminated that. You know, they were counting on Stephen Brault and Nick Kingham to be depth in that area, and they've struggled. They were counting on JT Brubaker to be major league ready depth in that area, and he got injured. You can't necessarily plan for that. So where they might have been seven or eight deep in their mind going into the season, you've already seen some shortcomings in that area, which is why we're already talking about Mitch Keller kind of, you know, in a ready or not scenario. Here he comes, because that is sort of the next guy up. And, you know, it's hard for any team to withstand the loss of their two best starters or two of their best starters, but it's really tough for this team to withstand it based on some of the depth issues that have been revealed, whether through performance or injuries so far this season.
Got about a minute left. I want to ask you this one, and this is pushing it way toward the end of the season, but let's say that let's say Chris Archer's performance stays about flat or maybe gets a little bit better, and he ends the season high fours, right at about a 5 ERA, right? And he gets into next year, and the team option is $9 million, then $11 million for the next couple years. The buyout's 1.75, and then 250K. Would it make sense to buy him out?
Maybe if he's that guy, if he's a 5 ERA guy, sure. You know, if you haven't seen any reason to believe that he's going to bounce back, potentially, yeah. But, you know, if you still think that this is a guy who's going to help you and deliver 180 good innings next season, then, you know, the $9 million is still kind of a bargain. That's more or less what they paid Yvonne Nova to be kind of a league average innings eater the last couple of years. So I could see a scenario where if they still believe in the upside, they pick it up, especially if, you know, he picks up and finishes strong or he shows that he's still healthy. So we all got to consider that he's also coming off of an injury, you know, last season and in the off season. So there's a lot more at play than just the raw numbers here.
All right, Adam Berry. Adam, we thank you so very much, and we will talk again soon.
All right, sounds good. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Adam.
It's just such an intriguing case. There's been so much. I can't remember a pitcher in any recently for the Pirates where there's been more talk and less action. I mean, we talk so much more about Chris Archer than we see positive action from him.
Because of what was given up to get him and what those players have done since their move. And we could talk about Glasnow and how we're still not sold on him, and I don't think either one of us is because he's on the DL now, injured list, whatever you want to call it. But to give up Glasnow, Meadows, and Boz, I think we all looked at it and said, well, this better be a home run. You better get the Chris Archer that he was at the peak of his career, and they've gotten anything but that.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.